This morning, God's Word comes to us from Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, we'll be reading just verses 14 through 20 of this chapter. Exodus chapter 12, we begin at verse 14. What we hear now is God's Word. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations, as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places you shall eat unleavened bread. Here we are in the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of the Psalter hymnal, this time to page 49 in the back section, as we look at the Heidelberg Catechism, in particular, Lord's Day 35. Lord's Day 35, and this morning I'm going to read question and answer 96. Question and answer 96. The question is, what is God's will for us in the second commandment, that we in no way make any image of God, nor worship Him in any other way than He has commanded in His Word? Well, this morning is a special day in the life of our congregation, as for the first time, we as a congregation, under the authority of our local elders, have the privilege of celebrating the Lord's Supper. We have celebrated together, but under the authority of our mother church, the church in Orange City. This morning is the first time that we as a congregation, under the authority of our local elders, celebrate the supper. And it's a day that the elders have been preparing for about the last 2 months or so. There are many decisions to be made when it comes to celebrating the Lord's Supper. One of the most basic decisions is, how often are we to celebrate that? And we talked about that in our elders' meeting and determined it was a matter not of a biblical command how many times we should celebrate, but a matter of pastoral care for the congregation. So the elders determined we would celebrate the Lord's Supper quarterly and on Good Friday evening. We look forward to those celebrations. The elders had to determine who should come to the table. How would we fence the table of the Lord? Would it be for anyone who walks in the door? Or would there be some method by which we would fence coming to the Lord's table? You had to be a professing member in a Christian church. Now, there are wide varieties of how the table is fenced, but we chose to go with that understanding of who is to come to the table. Those who have made a profession of faith in a Christian church, and you are welcome them to come to the table of the Lord here in our congregation. And there was what may be perhaps seen as the most mundane question to be answered. What elements should we use? What are we going to use as we celebrate the Lord's Supper? And the elders, after some discussion, made the decision to use wine and unleavened bread. Now, that may be something that's perhaps unfamiliar to us, but certainly something not unfamiliar to the Scriptures. our celebration of the Lord's Supper is rooted in the Old Testament, rooted in the celebrations of Passover and the feast we read about this morning, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In fact, these two feasts often were collapsed into one another, because Passover took place on one day and was followed immediately by that seven-day feast of unleavened bread. They really belong together. So the elders thought it would be appropriate that we would look at that feast and talk about why it is we would make this decision. I remember reading an article in a Christian periodical. Oh, it's been a number of years ago now. But someone asked the question, in the Lord's Supper, why not use root beer and pizza? Is there any prohibition against using any elements we want? Why, children, don't we use root beer and pizza this morning for the Lord's Supper? Well, that's the question we're going to talk about and think about. Why these elements? And part of the answer begins reminding ourselves that we are dealing with a sacrament. Sacraments are holy signs and seals for us to see. They are in that way different from the preaching of the Word. The preaching of the Word really can't be seen, but rather heard. In the sacrament, we see, we touch, we smell, we taste. The elements themselves carry a partial meaning of what we're doing. The elements themselves are part of what is going on. And so that is why it is important to use the proper elements. I do not want to suggest this morning that if another congregation would decide not to make the same choice our elders did, that they are being disobedient. I'm not suggesting that at all. What I am suggesting is our elders made a deliberate decision to try to, if I can put it this way, get every bit out of the sacrament that we can, to conform most closely to the root of the sacrament, to the background of the sacrament, and the intention of the sacrament, to turn our minds toward Christ. This morning we look at the Feast of Unleavened Bread and how it informs our celebration as we come to the Lord's table today. Israel was commanded to observe this feast. This shall be a memorial day. You shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout all your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. And it describes this feast of unleavened bread. The significance for Israel, and not an insignificant fact, they kept the feast this way because God commanded it. That at the very least. God gave specific instructions to his people, Israel, that this is how you are to keep the feast. So God certainly saw something important in the elements they used. Because they were told to do this, to have this feast of unleavened bread, to remove the leaven from them. And if anyone didn't, what was the consequence? He was to be cut off from the people of God. God did not think it was a small matter what elements were used. But if any leaven was to be found even in their house, they were to be cut off, whether a sojourner or whether native-born, nothing with leaven in their presence. And today, Orthodox Jews still observe this feast with very peculiar and particular ways. Before they celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the mother of the house will go through and remove all the leaven from the house, even today. Almost all the leaven. She will leave behind a few pieces of leaven throughout the house so that in the next part of the ceremony, the father will come through with the children, search through the house, find those last pieces, take them out as a teaching tool, as a reminder, as a sacrament, that they are to completely remove the leaven from among them. And the father teaches the children. We make an exhaustive search to do this just as God has commanded. Even in the modern-day Orthodox Jewish home, the leaven is still removed. They were to have no leaven in their midst. But notice, they were still to eat bread. Bread, children, is made with leaven. Leaven's like yeast. It's part of the recipe. Now, God could have said, don't eat any bread. He didn't say that. He said, you are to eat bread, but a particular kind of bread. An unleavened bread. A bread made without yeast, without leaven. It was different from every other day of the year. Even the kids would recognize it. Bread made without leaven is very flat. It's very dense. It's a little crunchy. It's not that nice risen loaf of bread that we like to have with peanut butter and jelly. Okay, it's a different bread. A distinctively different bread. They wouldn't mistake it. There'd be no wondering if this was leavened bread or unleavened bread. It was obvious and distinct. The people of Israel would recognize. In fact, the bread, the unleavened bread, really called attention to itself. This is something different. This is something special. This is something that we don't do just every day in a regular way. This is a feast to the Lord. And for 7 days, they would remove all the leaven and eat this particular type of bread, this unleavened bread. Leaven for Israel and even today, leaven or yeast in a lump of dough is a picture of decay. That's what makes the dough rise. Chemical reaction goes on. The leaven, the yeast, actually begins to decay. It gives off a gas at that point, which causes the dough to rise. But the leaven itself is a picture of fermentation, a picture of decay, a picture of corruption. The dough is corrupted by this element that is added. Although the result is great, the rising of the bread, the leaven itself is that which causes decay and corruption. And that's why it was such a picture. Maybe Israel didn't even realize the full measure of that, but we certainly do, looking at this text not through an Old Testament eyes, but through New Testament eyes. We look at those Old Testament sacraments and ceremonies through the eyes of the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we are taught about what that leaven means. Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 16, when the disciples reached the other side of the sea, they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they began discussing among themselves, saying, we brought no bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and the basket you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000? How many baskets you gathered? How is it you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. False teaching, wrong understanding, corruption, decay. Leaven, almost exclusively throughout Scripture, is a picture of evil and of wickedness. They were to remove the leaven from among them. They were to take it out so the bread would be distinct and recognizable, and so it would be a picture of the removal of the wickedness, a removal of the sin. It was a picture for them that they were called to be God's holy people. Not corrupted, not wicked, but distinct, different, noticeable. It was a picture that they were to be set apart for the service of God. The leaven would be removed from their midst.
as a part of their worship. And if you read through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, any time bread is offered to the Lord, it is always an unleavened bread. A bread that is distinct and different and a picture of purity. The imperfection was to be removed from their offerings. And so often today, how we in our own worship services want to offer to God what we think is right, what we think is best. Our worship is to be unadulterated by human inventions. And we do that by conforming more closely, most closely, with the law God has given to us. The bread had significance for the people of Israel. The bread, of course, pointed forward, as all the Old Testament pictures and sacraments and celebrations and ceremonies pointed forward to the coming of Christ. And we see then, what a perfect picture. The significance for Christ, who came as the completely distinct, wholly unique Son of God. Not one more a man among many, not bread like every other day, but unleavened, distinct, different. Christ was not just one more teacher at that time. He came as the Son of God. And today He remains distinct and unique. It is only through the blood of Christ that we can be saved. It is only through recognizing Him as the one and only Savior, the unleavened, the distinct, the unique bread of God, that we have hope for salvation. He's not one Savior among many. An everyday Savior that you pick this one or pick that one, and whichever one you like is fine. No, the picture of unleavened is a picture of distinctness, of uniqueness, and that's exactly who Christ was. The one and only Savior, the Son of God. The unleavened bread is a picture of His perfection, of His purity. Christ was not adulterated by sin. No evil thoughts, no evil words, no evil actions. He was perfect. He was unleavened, distinct, separated from wickedness. He had to be our Savior. He had to be completely holy and perfect to take our sins on Him. Otherwise, His death would be paying for His own sin. But He was the unleavened bread from God, the distinct one, the perfect one, the righteous one. There is a uniqueness in the coming of Jesus Christ, a uniqueness still today. We find our salvation in no one else, no other name given under heaven by which we may be saved, only the name of Jesus Christ. Just as distinct, as significant as unleavened bread was for Israel, so Christ is for us today. Something different, something noticeable, something sent by God. And the unleavened bread, of course, even pictures Christ's burial and resurrection. Leaven, I said, is a picture of decay. It decays in the loaf of dough. Christ, when He was put in the ground, in His burial, His body did not decay. His body did not ferment, rot away. But He was kept pristine in the ground, and therefore rose again from the dead, perfect, glorified body. Not leavened, not every day, but distinct. Not fermenting, not decaying. But He came forth from the ground perfect. A picture and reminder of our hope and our future. Now we know that our physical body certainly will decay, but spiritually we are linked with Christ. And when we do leave this earth and our bodies are placed in the ground, spiritually we do not decay. We are unleavened, then made pure and completely holy, and taken to be with God, our Savior. The unleavened bread had significance as it pointed forward to Christ, the distinct Savior, the perfect Savior, the one who knew no decay, but would rise again from the dead in a perfect body. The picture of unleavened bread was significant for Israel, significant for Christ, and I would suggest also significant for us today. Unleavened speaks of distinct, different, noticeable. You will notice when you take the bread this morning, it even looks different. It's a picture for us that God has called us to live distinct, holy lives. Not leavened, not impure, not wicked. But God's call is to holiness, is to distinctness, is to noticeable difference. In our lives as individuals, we're called not to be like everybody else, but to live distinctive, holy, Christian lives. That's the language that Paul picks up when he speaks about God's people and their call to holiness in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul says, "Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us, therefore, celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Celebrate with sincerity and with truth, unleavened as you really are. We have been washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ. We have been declared to be righteous and holy. And the supper reminds us we are to look righteous and holy. As long as we live in this body of sin, we know there will still be the taint of sin. But our call, our instruction, our direction is to live and look like distinctive, holy servants of God. And that's the reminder also in the supper. It is something we don't do every day. It is different. It is something special. The bread is distinctive. The wine distinctive. Not something we have all the time. As a reminder that it should be obvious something different is going on. And so too in our lives. It should be obvious to those around us that we are followers of Christ. That we live not with the bread of malice and evil, the leavened bread, but we live with the pursuit of sincerity and truth, unleavened as we really are, pursuing after God. And the supper then is a reminder and an encouragement that God Himself will strengthen us to live those kind of lives. We take and we eat the unleavened bread and the wine to be strengthened. Our confession says elsewhere that just as surely as bread and wine strengthen me physically, so I am spiritually strengthened by the body and blood of Christ as we come to the Lord's table. You say the call to distinctive living, the call to unleavened living seems so hard. But we're not left to our own strength. God, through His Spirit, strengthens us. The Spirit strengthens us through the Word and through the sacrament. We come today to be strengthened, to be renewed, to be encouraged in the call to holy living. Distinctive living. Lives that are noticeably different from those around us. And God then encourages us in that by giving us the supper. By giving us the wine and the bread to strengthen us spiritually, to prepare our hearts to go forth from this place today and tomorrow, in the days and weeks and months to come, to be those who are unleavened, distinct, separate, different, holy, called by God, strengthened by God to lead a holy life. How thankful we are that today, for the first time, we as a congregation may celebrate the Lord's Supper together. How thankful we are for the elders who have brought the elements to us this morning, who have fenced the table, and who now call us together as a body to come, to take, to eat, to be strengthened and encouraged. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you for your word and for your sacrament. We pray that you would help us to continually conform ourselves to the instruction you have given us in your word. And that today, through the celebration of this holy meal, we might be encouraged, we might be strengthened, we might be called to further holiness, reminded of that distinctness to which you have called us. And strengthen us, we pray. Strengthen us as we partake, that we might be encouraged to go forth and in our families and with our friends and in our work and in our schooling to live those distinct lives as a witness to those around us. We pray that you would hear our prayer, for we offer it in Jesus' name. Amen.